Good evening. It's good to be with you again. I wish mothers one more time a happy Mother's Day and hope that you had a good afternoon this day. As we have come to assemble tonight, we want to appreciate each one of you being here, especially those who are visiting. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we humbly come before you and asking your blessing upon our service tonight. And Father, we pray that you help us to be guided by your word, that we will be attentive to it, and that we be more than just hearers, that we'll be doers of what you have instructed. Father, we're mindful that we live in a very ignorant age of your word. And Father, we pray that we will be challenged to be students of your word and be able to help others to come to know you through the study and living out your word in our everyday life. Father, we just pray that we will learn the lessons that we have seen others live and experience in the Bible, and that we can try to emulate those things that are good and avoid those things which are evil. We thank you so much for the avenue of prayer. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that he died on the cross for our sins and gives us that hope of eternal life. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I guess none of us knows what we will be known for or what people will say about us after we leave this earth. But one of my hopes is that I might be known for challenging, encouraging people to know their Bible and to follow it and live it. And it seems as in our day and time, that job is a great job indeed. According to some statistics that I've come across and just knowledge of what's going on in our world, we live in a world that in our day and time is very challenging when it comes to Bible knowledge and knowing God. In some of the surveys I have come across, it says somewhere between 80 to 90% of Americans believe in God. But that belief is not backed up by their knowledge of the Word of God. In one study I came across where there was over 3,000 adults surveyed, only 2% correctly answered at least 29 out of 32 questions on the Bible regarding major figures, beliefs, and practice. The average score was just 50%. The statistics continue when it comes to Bible basics. Then it reminds us that we might believe in God, we do not know about him. 55% of all the respondents knew the golden rule isn't one of the Ten Commandments, but 45% could not name all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And second was the top scoring groups. The top scoring groups who knew their Bible were atheists, agnostics, Jews, and Mormons. I realize this is a broad survey, and anybody could be picked for this survey, but it verifies another survey, a survey among youth, where over 1,000 youth were surveyed and about their Bible knowledge. And when the children were asked about Jesus turning water into wine, only 2/3 could identify that story. There was a number of indications that they did not know any of the quotes from the Sermon on the Mount, or relation to Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. About 1 in 10 thought Moses was one of the 12 apostles. The polls could go on, but it makes the point. We live in a very Bible illiterate day and time. And the question we might ask ourselves is, what happens when we do not know the Word of God? What happens when we are ignorant of his very word? Well, the Bible has many illustrations and examples of this very thing. One we'd like to look at tonight is found in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. If you have your Bibles, encourage you to turn to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And we'll be seeing in this text for most of the evening. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, notice what it says. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being my priests. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. One of the things that stands out from this passage is that when we neglect the Word of God, when we neglect who God is, we will be destroyed. And that's the very warning that Hosea is offering here. But why would God destroy these people? What was going on with these people? Well, you look in the verses before that, in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And we see that it describes the situation going on in Hosea's day. It says in verse 1, "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing and deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof, for your people are like those who contend with the priests. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother." As Hosea relays here, these people are not faithful. They are not kind. They have no knowledge of God. They are bankrupt with faith. Does it sound familiar? As you read this list, does it sound like our society? No wonder we have problems. When the Lord is neglected, when he is ignored, when he is forgotten, it ensues problems. Hosea, by the instruction of God, calls the children of Israel to repent. He is warning them. He is trying to get them to come home, come back. And in the big picture of Hosea, Hosea is asked to marry an immoral woman. And that immoral woman represents all the things that Israel has done towards God. And so even by this object lesson, Israel does not listen. Their sins continue to get greater and continues on. And we have some instance of this in the days of the kings of Israel. We see their sins and their injustice just continue to take place. Back in 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 2, they were doing evil and doing things that the nations that they drove out of Canaan had not done. They were worse than the nations that they had driven out. Over in 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 2, we see it continues. They were sacrificing their children to idols. They were practicing witchcraft and divination, and they dealt with mediums and spiritists. And so idol worship was involved. In fact, they even took an idol into the temple. It continues into murder, and people who were innocent, their blood was being shed. God is definitely not pleased. They have abandoned God, and he rebelled against God. And God, even in their rebellion, is offering them an opportunity to come back. But he gives them this warning: "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." As we continue to look at this text, we see that in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8, that the law of Moses had been lost. Can you imagine that? The one thing that was central to their faith, the one thing that gave them identity, the one thing that guided them and instructed them, the law of God, the law of Moses, that it had been neglected for so long, it was lost until during the time of King Josiah it was found. See, the Jews had ignored God. They had put him on the back burner. They had lost the book that told them how and when and where and all the things that pertain to their faith to help them in that relationship. In fact, as I read the surveys in the beginning of the lesson, it reminded me we're on that same path. It reminded me that we are in the process of losing the Word of God. And someone might say, well, I have 10 Bibles. I know where my Bible is. And that's not really the point. The point is, are you using the Bible that you have? It doesn't matter if you have 10 or 20 or 100 Bibles. And it doesn't matter if you know exactly where they are. the point of what Hosea is telling us and what the greater picture and context of the Bible is, are you using the Word of God? Is it vital and central to your life, or are you ignoring it? See, the very reason we have the written Word is for our guidance and direction and come to know the Lord. Notice a few passages in regards to this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 or 13 says, "These things I have written to you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on this name of the Son of God." Notice the whole reason for why John wrote is so that we can know the Son of God and have eternal life. The Bible is there to help us to know God. It's there to help us to understand the ways of eternal life. But it continues over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us how powerful the Word of God is. "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." What other book can do that to your thoughts and to your hearts? What other book or information or philosophy of man could do what the Bible does and it tells us it does? And the answer is nothing. God's Word is powerful. So powerful that when we read in Romans 10 and 17 that then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if it causes us to have faith, if it's the reason for our faith, shouldn't we be diving into it? Shouldn't we be studying it? Shouldn't we be knowing it? And if it gives us direction in our moral lives, in our spiritual lives, shouldn't we be spending time with it? As Hosea 4 and verse 6 reminds us, that we too can be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Today we see so many problems in our society, and it boils down to the lack of knowledge of the Word of God. Many times people scoff at the Word of God. Many times they see that they make fun of it as an ancient book. But you tell me where there is a better answer for the disease that runs rampant in our lives, in our world, because of immoral living. You tell me another book or philosophy that gives us a solution to kids killing kids in our schools, where we have an epidemic of those who are committing abortions, drugs, addictions, babies being born outside of wedlock, broken families and murders and countless of other things that are happening. You tell me where there's a solution. So many times our society says, well, we need better education. We need better teachers in our schools, and we need to have better colleges. We hear people saying we need better government. The government's broken. But if we just had a better government, a better way of doing things, then society would be better. And then someone else comes along, we need a better political party. After all, this political party does this and that one does that. We need a different political party. Then there are others that says it's just bad genes. And on it goes. But what it boils down to is a lack of obeying the Word of God. See, God's Word has a solution to our problems. It can help us deal with the problems that we face each and every day. Could you imagine what our schools would be like if in the rules we said, "Thou shalt not kill"? How far would that go? Our society has at large said no to God and yes to other ways of living. The problems have just caused more problems. I'm reminded of an illustration that I believe really fits the situation we live in. It's like the one man who is getting ready to go swimming, and he asks, as he is getting ready to jump into the river, "Are there any alligators in the river?" And the man beside him said, "No, there's not a single one." The man paused and he looked around and he was not real sure about jumping in the water. And he again said, "Are you sure there's no alligators in the water?" The man said, "No, there's no alligators." the man getting ready to go swimming said, "What's those gray things that are swimming down there then?" All his friends said, "There are no alligators down there because the gray things are the sharks. They scared away all the alligators." In a lot of ways, that's the world that we're living in. There is a tendency for people to think that modern technology and education and government and all of these things solve our problems. But what we have done when we have a society and a life without God is exchange alligators for sharks. What we really need, what we need today, what every Christian needs is a knowledge of the Word of God. So how do we get this knowledge? How do we get this knowledge? Well, as Christians, we need to understand that, first of all, we need church leaders who are like Ezra. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, notice what it says about Ezra. He was determined to study the Lord's teachings, live by them, and teach their rules and regulations in Israel. We need those men, those elders and deacons and preachers and missionaries and Bible school teachers. We need these people to be people who study the Word of God. And not just study it, just not to know it, just not to memorize it, but we need to be living the Word of God like Ezra. And we need to be teaching it the way we, by the way we live, but also rightly dividing the Word and teaching it to one another. Parents, we need you as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 22, notice what Moses, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, instructs to the Israelites in regarding parents. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. "You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be frontlets on your forehead. You shall teach them to your sons, talking to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on their gates, so that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens remained above the earth." The Bible reminds us as parents that we need to be teaching the instructions of the Word of God daily. It's not something we do just once a day or once a week. It's something we do daily, all the days of our life. The Lord has assigned the responsibility to parents to teach their children. And when we don't have parents passing on their faith, when we have parents not teaching their children, our children will be destroyed for the lack of knowledge of the Word of God, because they will not know God. And it's our responsibility. But third, the church. The church. We need the church to be like the Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11. The Bereans searched the Word daily to see what Paul and Silas were saying was true. We need every church member to be diligently in the Word of God, searching the Scriptures, like we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where here again it states, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Not only do we need church leaders and parents, but every member needs to be diving into the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, reading it and living it in our everyday life. We need to know what God has there for us. We need to know His instructions and His plans and honor God as He has given us His Word. We need to study it daily to help us know how to live daily. You know, in the New Testament, there is more times it's been on talking about moral living than a worship on the first day of the week. Doesn't take away the importance of worshiping the Lord on the first day of the week, but it reminds us that we live in everyday life, and God needs to live in our everyday life. We should strive to be God's people, just not in this building, but everywhere we go. And notice, as we think about knowing God, notice also God's desire. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, he desires all people to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. How are people in our world to know the difference? How are they to know the truth unless we, God's people, teach them and show them the way of truth? And that takes you and I, each one of us, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we see in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the church began, we see that those people who obeyed the gospel, those Christians, they realized the need for the strength of one another, for the teaching of the apostles, of prayer and fellowship. They understood that they needed one another, and for a time, the church continued to meet daily. They met daily to gain that spiritual strength. And although that didn't continue for a long time, there is a value we see in meeting as often as we can. In fact, we see that it was essential to meet on the first day of the week. But we also see as the church expanded and grew, they would meet for Bible study and prayer at other times. And so it is today, as we have opportunity to worship and study more about God, to praise Him and to honor Him, whenever there's an opportunity, we should be there. There's a tendency in our day and time to see how little I can be involved with worship, how little we can meet. And yet the Bible tells us just the opposite. As Christians, we should see and take advantage of all the opportunities to worship God, whether that's Sunday morning and Sunday evening or Wednesday or gospel meetings or vacation Bible school or home Bible studies. Just take time and spend with God, with one another as Christians and also in our families. See, if we want to grow in the knowledge of God, we got to spend time with Him. If we do not want to be destroyed by the lack of our knowledge, if we want to avoid the pitfalls that we see in Hosea's day, we too must get back to putting God first. Put Him first in our everyday lives and make the most of every opportunity that is presented to hear the preaching and the teaching and the training of God's Word when it's offered. See, Bible knowledge must be each member's aim and goal. Someone has said, "We will not believe more than we know, and we will not live higher than our beliefs." Church, what do you know about God? What do you know about the Bible? What do you believe? The Bible is telling us over and over, we need to increase, we need to mature, we need to develop our faith. And part of that begins with knowing God, studying His Word, and developing as He is instructed. Finally, we must remember a principle from farming. You reap what you sow. If we sow disbelief and ignorance and hatred and sin, guess what? We will reap every bit of that. But if we sow righteousness and faith and hope and love, we will reap those good things. Notice again in the book of Hosea, but this time over in Hosea chapter 10. Notice what it says in verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is a time to seek the Lord, that He may come and rain righteousness up on you. The principle and teaching is very plain in here in Hosea 10 and verse 12. The challenge, the goal, the aim is for each one of us to sow righteousness. And we learn that from the Word of God. We learn how to have faith. We learn how to have love. We learn how to have all these spiritual qualities when we dive into the Word of God. We sow our hearts with the seed of His Word, and when we do, we will reap that love and righteousness and godliness. We must each ask ourselves, am I making the most of every opportunity to build my faith? Am I increasing in my Bible knowledge? Am I increasing in my faith? Am I encouraging my children to know about God and His Word? Am I striving to live as the Bible teach? Or am I like so many in our world, filling my life with ignorance and being destroyed for the lack of knowledge of God's word. My hope and my prayer and my encouragement is that you and all of you but your children will study the Bible a little more this week. My hope and my prayer that you will build a faith in your family that will continue for generations. My hope and prayer is that we will be different in this generation than we were in Hosea's day, where they were destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Again, Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If reading and studying the word of God produces a faith, shouldn't I do it all the more? Should I be not happy with where I am on my faith and be challenged by the word of God and have a greater faith? Tonight, if you're not right with God, if you don't have this faith, we would like to help you. And it begins with becoming a Christian. So tonight, maybe you're not a Christian. We would like to encourage you to come and put your faith in Christ, repent of your sins and put him in baptism, and begin that walk tonight. Or maybe for some reason you're like the people of Hosea, who were the people of God, but you've drifted back and you needed to repent of sin and come home again. Maybe that's where you are tonight. Come home. Come to that now as we stand, as we sing.